There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. Had you there. Did that sound enough like Sean when he opens the show? Sean, not here today. This is Dalton Orwig. You may know me from Mobile Mornings alongside my buddy and good pal Dan Brennan. And I'm filling in for Sean on today's episode of Midday Mobile. And we're having a good time down here at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. I have Angelo here. Angelo, how you doing?
Doing great. Good to have you here today.
Thank you so much. And everyone says we have a big show planned, right? When they come on the air. I'll just say we have a show planned.
There you go.
And then I'll let you decide when we're done whether it was big or not. But talking to some people you probably know pretty well. John Sharp coming up later this hour.
Sweet.
He took the trip up to Troy, Alabama earlier this week to see what the president had to say as he toured that missile, that Javelin missile factory up there near Troy. So going to discuss that with John. Also, he talked with Senator Tuberville about those missiles and also about Space Center in Huntsville and whether he still feels good about that coming to our state. And then in hour number two, we'll talk with Ray Mellick with 1819 News and kind of get his lay of the land now that we are about 2.5 weeks out from the primaries coming up later this month. We'll see what Ray says about the Senate race, gubernatorial, and anything else that he has on his mind. So looking forward to that. A couple things before we get into the show. I was talking with someone earlier, and they said they liked our coverage this morning, or more realistically, they appreciated our coverage from the storms early this morning. Obviously, the family, what was it, Dollar, it wasn't a Dollar General, but the...
Dollar Tree?
Not Dollar Tree, but the dollar store down there next to Greer's by Pullman's, Family Dollar. It took a direct hit of some sort.
Man.
And completely demolished. I guess Greer's was caught some damage on the roof. I don't know if they've opened yet. They said they'd try to get open as soon as they could. And then, of course, damage from all across the both counties this morning. Hope everyone's fine out there. But gave me an idea with us being so close to primaries.
Right.
And some people, they've told us they have no idea who they're going to vote for. No idea.
I'm probably in that category myself.
Okay.
It's a free-for-all out there.
It is.
I mean, and everything, it's so many negative ads out there and so many people just bashing each other.
Yeah.
I almost feel like it's like, okay, the person I don't hear of, the person I've heard of the least on the ballot, that's probably the one I'm going to vote for.
Wow.
You know? But I'd love to hear what your take on all
well,
this
Well, you know, and that's an interesting strategy if you're a candidate coming in. You know, maybe if I don't advertise, maybe they'll vote for me.
But, well, because they're making me mad. It's like, I don't want that one, I don't want that one, and I don't want that one.
Right, exactly. I think a lot of people feel that way. But with the wind last night, with the storms,
right.
If you don't know who you're going to vote for, a little primary roulette, whichever campaign signs may have ended up in your yard.
Nice.
If they were blown in from the side of the street, maybe the median where they're not supposed to be.
It's a sign.
It's a sign. Yeah. If you were thinking of maybe voting for Britt or Brooks and a Durant sign ends up in your yard or vice versa, maybe you got to make that change. And then also later this hour, we'll get into some updates from the prison outbreak up in Lauderdale County.
Right.
A new voice has weighed in, and it's probably the one everyone's been waiting for. Dog the Bounty Hunter has given his tips on how we're going to catch these. So we'll get into that a little bit later in the show. But I'm here with Angelo, and we have a lot to talk about here at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry because, well, don't we have a little holiday coming up here?
We do.
Very soon, I believe.
Very soon. Very important. And yeah, for a lot of folks like me, like Sean typically, last-minute shoppers out there, Mother's Day, it's Sunday, guys. It's time.
Oh, wow.
It is time.
Yeah.
So this Sunday, Mother's Day, we have lots and lots of jewelry in stock, everything from sterling silver rings all the way up to those oh, wow kind of gifts. And the reason I'm saying that is there's a lot of dads out there that they need to take their daughter somewhere to pick out something for mom.
Oh, yeah.
But you don't want to pick out a really nice gold bracelet or something from the kids because you're going to be paying for it, and they need to help sometimes with their money.
Yeah.
You know how it is.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you can pick out a pretty silver ring or pair of earrings for $20-25.
Yeah.
So most of the kids, that's well within their budget, what they're trying to spend for mom. They give her something cute. You add on a little bit extra because we have so many other cool options and things here. And we've even had people come in and buy some of the, like, the Opinel gardening knives, things like that. Because, you know, mama loves to garden.
Yeah.
That'd
great
be a
idea.
Cool little gift for her, something mm-hmm. like that. Because not everybody loves jewelry, even though I got to tell you, pair of earrings, you know, something simple like that is usually a huge success.
Yeah, one of those things that it's really tough to go wrong with.
It
right?
is. It is.
Especially if you're buying it here. And I say that as someone who has shopped here for a long time. You may not even remember. It's probably been about 10 years. First time I came in here and bought my then fiance, I think, now wife.
Right.
I bought her a really nice cuff bracelet. I'm not sure the exact terminology
right.
for that. But I got that here. She fell in love with it. And I was just scanning earlier. You have all kinds of great selections, jewelry-wise and otherwise, but specifically with the jewelry for mom, rings, necklaces, bracelets. You got it all.
We do. And we had a couple of states that we sort of held back with some really nice gold jewelry and some interesting silver pieces. We basically released those into the store this week because we wanted to make sure there was some fresh stuff out there for people to look at that hadn't been picked through already. So we had about 200 pieces of jewelry that we got ready and got out there. So everything from diamonds and rubies and sapphires to sterling silver to some cool cuff bracelets, mm-hmm. some Native American pieces, all sorts of interesting stuff.
So there's that for mom. And if someone wants to come down before Mother's Day, your hours, you'll be here today?
9 to 5 today, 9 to 2 on Saturday, and closed on Sunday for Mother's Day.
Okay, perfect. And then I also noticed you mentioned the gardening tools.
Right.
Your Opinel knife collection, really your sharp edges collection in general, has grown. You've got just an amazing selection here of different knives.
Well, thanks. We're trying to stay ahead of it. And it's been interesting because we started off with Opinels, and everybody wanted the Opinel pocket knives. All of us, I mean, Sean has one. I'm not sure if you still carry one or not.
I do. I have a couple.
And it sort of grew, and then all of a sudden we said, hey, they've got these cool kitchen prep knives, you know, peelers, vegetable knives, things like that, and they're nice little four-piece sets. And so a lot of people said, hey, I want those as a Christmas gift or birthday gift. And then they started doing all those knives individually as well. They have a set of kitchen knives for children with a chef's knife. It's a blunted tip so the kid can't stab themselves.
Good. I was picturing one of those in my leg already
yeah.
as soon as
and,
you mentioned that.
And it's got a little finger guard where the right by the handle, so when the kid's holding onto it, the knife's not going to slide and get away from them.
Oh, good.
So it's actually a pretty interesting thing. We've actually had a lot of ladies with petite hands that have bought those for themselves
mm-hmm.
because apparently they're very dangerous in the kitchen. You know, so because of all of that, we just keep adding and expanding, and Opinel is doing such a great job bringing more knives out for people to use. And these are useful tools. This is not, you know, this is not some weapon out there. This is something you're going to carry around in your pocket, you're going to put into your travel bag, you're going to have in the kitchen drawer, and you're going to use it probably every day once you try them out.
Very cool. And then we got to get real here for a little bit. Not that we haven't been real, this conversation, but yesterday, pretty tough day on Wall Street.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't checked in a few hours. It looked like the day was looking fairly similar.
It is.
And so people are having a tough time out there. There have been a lot of folks kind of foreboding that this would come. And who knows if this is if we're going to go much further or what's going to happen. I'm not a prognosticator, but I do know that a safe place to keep your investments, you know, you can spread it out, but one of the places you need to spread it out to is gold and silver.
We've had a lot of people looking into that, asking questions. It's been amazing over the last probably 6 months how many first timers have come in, and they're not coming in wanting an ounce. You know, they've been doing the math, they've been doing the research, and they say, okay, I've got this much in investments, I'm going to take 10% of that, and sometimes that's a pretty big number, but they want to take 10% of that and convert that into precious metals.
Mm-hmm.
And they have tons of questions. Well, what's the best thing to buy? Well, there's no one best thing. We all have different reasons, different concerns, different situations. You know, you might have a huge safe at the house that you can put lots of silver in because silver's a little bulkier. You may not. You may want to buy gold. So we talk about all the different options and products and choices we have. And then they figure out, once they've figured out what they want, They pick it out, do their shopping, and if it's a large quantity, we may have to order some of that in. Might take a week or two. Smaller quantities, we have plenty in stock, so you can come in, pick it out, go on about your business. Or we've had people coming in, say, okay, I like those. I want to spend this amount of money. So they'll write a check. We'll get things ordered in, get it all in and ready for them. A couple weeks, we give them a call. They come by and pick it up and go on about their business.
Easy enough. And I'm glad you brought the beginner in that, because while I shouldn't, at this age, I probably should not be a beginner, but it doesn't matter what age you start if you don't start, right? And I'll be honest with you. I have right now no money in gold or silver, and I need to, and you're the guy to ask. So let's just say for all the Daltons out there, starting completely fresh, you kind of said some stuff there that I'm definitely interested in. They could come in and maybe get a little bit of a class from you as you tell us how to get it.
Absolutely. You can come in, and we can talk about the different products, the different prices and premiums, you know, what price over spot you're paying for those things. You could also check out the Two Guys and Some Change radio show that we do every Tuesday night.
Of course.
It's also online as a podcast, and we've talked about gold and silver during the zombie apocalypse and things like that. Try to make it fun.
Yeah.
Try to make it a little entertaining, but it's real simple. It's like, okay, you know, Dalton, here's what we have. Do you want to come in every pay period and spend X amount of your budget on gold and silver? Here are the things that you could probably purchase. Or if it's one of these other moves of, hey, I don't have any gold and silver, I've got this much in investment, so I need to take this amount of money, you know, whether it's $100 or $100,000, you're going to take X amount of money and convert it right away. We can make that happen as well. A lot of people do a little of both.
Mm-hmm.
They say, okay, I need to spend this amount of money today on gold and silver, and now moving forward, every month I'm going to come in at the beginning or end of the month, and I'm going to put this amount of money in. And it might be $100, it might be $500,
but right.
That's how you get going and get started. Once you create that habit and that becomes part of your budget and part of your lifestyle there, it's going to amaze you at the end of the day when end of the year you look back and go, wow, look at all this stuff in the safe.
Yeah, very cool. And we were talking a little bit before the show, you know, a lot of the kids, and by kids I mean anywhere from, you know, 15 to 25 to 30, are they're reading all this stuff online and they're buying into digital currency.
Right.
And you know, there's a lot of people who've done a ton of research into that, but along with the stock market, the NFT market. There was a full article on the Wall Street Journal the other day about how so many of those investments are just seemingly dying on the vine right now.
Well, they are. And I think a lot of people are getting more and more nervous about it, because you're talking about something that is very digital and not in the real world, as opposed to our paper money, our currency, which is a fiat currency. It's a piece of paper that we believe has value to it. And because of that belief, we keep exchanging it back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Now you go into something like gold and silver that is a hard, tangible asset. And the nice thing is, you know, people have talked before, well, I'm going to put my money into lead. You know, they're going to store ammo or guns or whatever. That's fine. There are a lot of challenges storing those things, keeping things clean, rust-free. You know, ammunition basically goes bad over time. I know it takes a long time. You can store it properly. A lot more involved, though, than if you're just putting some money into gold and silver and holding it that way. And I'm not saying don't buy guns or ammo. I'm saying buy guns and ammo if you have to defend your family or hunt for food or whatever that scenario is. But you're not going to go out to a local farmer and shoot them and take some eggs. You're going to go out there and pay for it.
Right.
That's what you need your gold and silver for. And, you know, we joke with people about that, but sometimes people don't see all sides of this.
Yeah, no doubt. And some very good points there. And then one quick thing before we head to the break. When I came in, you showed me something, and Lauren was just browsing it over there. But some very cool postcards. And you have one of Bankhead Tunnel. It almost makes the Bankhead look futuristic.
Wasn't that a cool shot? You're talking about the one in the tunnel, right?
Yeah.
It's basically a collection, an estate we've been working with, and they just had a stack of postcards in there. We started going through those and realized there's a lot of shots from Mobile from way back. That shot of the Bankhead was pretty awesome. The shot with the toll booths on the side was pretty impressive, because I wish we would have had that a couple years ago when the toll stuff was such a big deal, because I didn't realize what it looked like and that they had actually done that.
Yeah.
And then the shot from Daphne looking towards Mobile.
Unreal.
Pre-I-10.
Yeah.
Nothing but water, and it was just amazing.
That's something else. Well, you got tons of great stuff here, Angelo. We covered a lot of it, but certainly not all of it. And folks need to get down, especially if they need to buy for mom for Mother's Day. Cool if I check in with you again here a little bit later in the show.
Sounds great.
All right. That's Angelo, Mobile Baked Coins and Fine Jewelry. That's where we are. And coming back, more Midday Mobile on the way.
This is is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. This is Dalton Orwig standing in, or more specifically sitting in right now for Sean Sullivan. He'll be back hopefully fresh as a daisy next week. Sean, the soon-to-be Nappy Award-winning, what's he up for? Best voice, among other things. You can vote at votenappies.com. And we'll be talking with John Sharp with AL.com here in just a few minutes. He traveled out to Troy to see the president speak earlier this week. We'll get his take on that and much more. Quick look at the text line. I can see it. 251-343-0106. And no, Paul, Sean is not up for best naked radio host. I'm not sure that's a category. I'll have to double check. I don't think that's a category yet. Oh, he says, as long as it's dark. Okay, the jokes are flowing right now at Sean's expense when he's not here to protect himself. Terry with some important information, traffic light out at Royal and Government. So the light out at Royal and Government, be careful there. And, yeah, I mentioned it earlier, Dog the Bounty Hunter, finally, I've been waiting. He finally weighs in on this prison break from Lauderdale County, the not related Vicky White and Casey White. So Dog, as he's known by friends, he's now 69 years old, and he weighed in here. He was on, I guess, News Nation. He said, when you have a criminal like that and a police officer on the run, neither one have experience with running. And at their sizes, I would say that's true. Neither probably run very much or very often. He said they probably rented, that they need to scour these Airbnbs and other rental properties, he says, within a 3,000-mile radius. That's pretty big, Dog. He said they probably rented an Airbnb for maybe 90 days because she'll know, being a police officer, that you have to go under right now. You know, only police officers know that. Yeah, only police officers and Dog the Bounty Hunter. He said things are going to calm down and cool off. And, he's right in at least a couple ways, because it's been a week now they've been on the run. And outside of the Whites, not related, leaving the prison, I don't think that they've been spotted even. Or if they have, the police haven't mentioned it. And he is all of 6'9", the prisoner who's on the run, 6'9", 260, I believe. And, of course, they describe the corrections officer as 5'4", 140, with a waddling gait, which may be the meanest description of a person I've seen in a long time. And all the more rich with irony that KRG reported overnight that this is National Correctional Officers Week. So this is supposed to be the week where we take our hats off, you know, give a standing ovation to those who are out there making sure the prisoners are doing their best to keep prisoners and other violent criminals inside the jail cells. And this Vicky White is going to make it all about herself and take off this week of all weeks. But the, I guess, Mobile County Sheriff's Office went out to the Metro Jail and helped serve a lot of the corrections officers out there to do their part. But, yes, it's National Correctional Officers Week, the week when Vicky White goes on the run. And in all seriousness, you know, we've joked about her, and we've joked about the guy she's with, but talk about extreme danger. My, they've even added more to this story. Maybe we'll get into that later in the show. But coming up, more Midday Mobile. I'm Dalton Orwig. We'll talk with John Sharp from AL.com.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back. 12:34, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. This is Dalton Orwig taking you into Paul Feinbaum and then the weekend here on FM Talk 106.5. Going to talk with John Sharp with AL.com here in just a minute. A couple texts really quickly. Captain Wolf says, Dalton, I love the coin show at night. Angelo makes the history of coins interesting and fun. Angelo will love to hear that. I'll let him know here as soon as he gets back on the air with me. And another texter says, ask Angelo about the slingshots they sell. Yeah, I saw those as I was walking in. They look like made for Dennis the Menace. I'll say that much. Dennis the Menace would love this store. That's for sure. And that's why I guess so many of us guys and girls love the show too. And also Jace, he says, example of how bipolar Mobile's weather can be. He was out doing woodworking in West Mobile last night in the middle of the night and had no idea there was any storm until this morning when he turned us on or some other form of getting the news. He said weather was beautiful. Dogs were laying on the patio. Yeah, Jace, it was pretty hectic in a lot of Mobile. It was blowing harder than I've heard it blow this year at my house. And I was the fortunate one. A lot of people have a little bit of damage after the early morning storms. So let's get on with John Sharp, AL.com here, as he has been traveling like a madman this last week. And, John, I've been reading all about it. Thanks for coming on with me today on Midday.
Hey, Dalton. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Doing great. Before we get into it, before we get into the president visiting Troy and everything else you've written about, how'd those Iowa Hawkeyes do in the draft last week? Was Linderbaum the center? Was he the big one to go last week?
You're right. Linderbaum went late in the first round. That gives Iowa another first rounder. So that speaks well, especially they groom offensive linemen and tight ends in the Big Ten, fairly well in colleges like Iowa. So that. That was interesting, but they only had two players that went in the draft this year, so that's a little down from previous years. I don't know what that means per se, but they did have a first rounder, but overall only two players. So
yeah,
and maybe that means we're keeping all our players and away we go next year. I don't know. The offense needs some big time reforms, in my opinion, but that's another story for another time.
That's what I was going to say. Could bode well for next year if you got a bunch of those guys stacked up. Let's get into, and I also don't want to forget, I want to talk about the meeting that you attended last night with the Orange Beach split off from the school system. But
yeah.
I'd say probably the big news this week, you traveled out to Troy, President Biden making his first trip as president to Bama, and encouraging the employees there as they try to build enough missiles to keep deploying over to Ukraine. How was that trip?
Yeah, we traveled to real exotic locales here, It was a really remote area, a Lockheed Martin plant that I suspect many people in Alabama don't even realize was here.
Yeah.
It is about 10, 15 miles north of Troy, really in the middle of nowhere in Pike County. And, it was an interesting, that was a very interesting day. I drove up there first thing in the morning, had to go through security. We handled a lot of security ahead of time. You have to provide a birth certificate and so on and so forth, even to get onto the facility. And then, of course, you have to go through security when you get up there. And you get into the actual facility, there was absolutely no Wi-Fi, so I was unable to tweet real time when I was there. That was kind of difficult and frustrating, I think, for a lot of the media that were up there. But be that as it may, it was an interesting trip. I briefly got to go on a tour with the traveling White House press corps. We toured the back part of this particular facility where they assemble these missiles. Very interesting technology they got going on there. Very interesting process. A newish plant, I would say. It reminds me of going through one of our Airbus plants. Very clean and feels new. So it was a nice facility, an interesting trip. It was interesting being, media scrum with folks from all over the country. But President Biden was there as well. Jen Psaki was there. She was kind of standing off to the side. I made a little chit chat with her, and it was all in all an interesting day. President himself spoke before about 250 Lockheed Martin employees. The speech was only about 16 minutes long. There really were no surprises going into it. But he was there basically to say thank you. Of course, he was criticized as well for this trip from some of the Republicans in the state who felt like, his appearances should have been elsewhere, including the U.S.-Mexican border. Mm-hmm. So, but all in all, an interesting day. It was a long day for me. Interesting day for Alabama. Interesting anytime a president comes to visit your state.
Yeah, and while I don't think any representative showed up, certainly not Ivy, and we kind of discussed that going in, whether it would be a good move for her heading into these midterms to at least, show face. And the audience kind of ended up split on that. But I guess Terry Sewell did show up, the only Democrat in the congressional team that Alabama sends up there. Did she speak at all? Did she have anything to say?
Yeah, that's correct. Representative Sewell was there. She spoke briefly introducing President Biden. Didn't say anything overly memorable, I don't recall, though she did reference John Lewis, and his connections to Alabama in her speech, mm-hmm. which I thought was appropriate for the setting that we were at, being close to Troy. But she spoke briefly to introduce the president. And then there was an employee there, Linda Griffin was her name. She's a 25-year employee of Pike County facility. She spoke and introduced the president, so I'm sure a personal thrill for her.
Yeah.
She only spoke briefly, but her job was to introduce the president. And there was some photo ops there, obviously, for her and, the president hugging her and that sort of thing. And then the president spoke, and that was about it. I mean, he spoke for about 16 minutes.
Wow.
Spoke in particular about, he made a couple of calls for Congress to support the extra aid that that his administration wants to send for the Ukrainian efforts and to fight back the Russian aggression. And then he also spoke in support of getting legislation approved that would be crucial to the further development of semiconductors. He felt that, that a lot of semiconductors are used, microchips are used to go into building these missiles. So he used the missile plan as a backdrop to try and push that legislation as well, which has some bipartisan support, but it's kind of locked up in a conference committee, from my understanding, in Washington, D.C., and I don't think there's any immediacy of it being approved. Talking to Senator Tommy Tuberville on Wednesday, he had indicated that he was not supportive of this particular piece of legislation. He believes that type of activity is best left to the private sector.
Yeah.
So you got some philosophical differences there as well. But the president utilized his speech to make a couple of calls for passage of legislation, which we knew ahead of time because that was hinted upon the day before during a White House press briefing.
Interesting. Talking with John Sharp, AL.com. He went over to Troy earlier this week to watch President Biden speak. And, as someone who went to Troy University for a couple years before transferring down here to South, and it probably wasn't even a thought of being built back then. I had no idea about this place. I do want to ask you, with Biden speaking, of course, a lot's been made of his ability to communicate on both sides of the aisle. And John, you as a great journalist, very neutral in your writings and opinions for the most part, unless we're talking Iowa sports. What did you make of Biden as he spoke for those 16 minutes? Did they wheel any teleprompters out there? Was he just speaking from the heart? What did you make of his speech itself?
I felt like, it was no different than a lot of speeches you see. I believe it was broadcast, too, nationally, at least on CNN. I know that Kate Collins, the CNN reporter from Alabama, was up there as well covering it. His speech was, he spoke fast at times, and other times he slowed down. The delivery was what we've all seen before. I'll let the viewers and the audience determine that for themselves as far as, the quality of his delivery. I felt like it ended abruptly, but it ended with he just kind of looked at the crowd and put his hand over his heart and said, I mean this sincerely, thank you. And, that was kind of a takeaway I had. It seems like, he gets criticized sometimes maybe being all over the place when he talks
right.
at times, but and for his gaffes. But at the end, I think he ended it well. I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, and you mentioned your conversation with Senator Tuberville. You talked with him also about Space Command, and I guess that's still in the balance. It was during the Trump administration that was awarded to Huntsville. Colorado threw a big fit about it and continue to because they felt that Space Command, which I've guess has kind of originated there next to the Air Force, they feel it should be there. And they're still writing letters. I see it all the time. They're still trying to get that moved out of Alabama, and they're saying it's unfair. Where do we stand with that? Because that could be a boon for the state.
Yeah, you're correct. And, we don't tend to cover this as much being down here because this is a very important matter for the Huntsville area, but it's an important matter for the entire state. And I think my understanding, and again, I don't cover this religiously, but I did, Senator Tuberville brought this up when a question was asked of him on Wednesday. And he had indicated that, you know, that he felt confident that it still is coming to Alabama. I think my understanding is there's still a government and accountability office report that we're a GAO report that we're waiting on to be released. There's been some, I guess, stuff about it that has been leaked out to journalists in Colorado, indicating that perhaps the process that the Trump administration used to determine to rule that Alabama was the preferred site was flawed. But, you know, in Alabama, there's bipartisan support for Alabama being the location. So it is a, you know, state versus state type of issue, a Colorado versus Alabama issue. Not in particular that it's Republican versus Democrat, although that maybe on the national level that might be perceived. But I know Congresswoman Sewell's come out in support of the Huntsville, the Redstone Arsenal location for Space Command. So, yeah, I mean, it's... I think that's still an ongoing issue.
Yeah, and with Senator Tuberville, you know, I don't know, I guess he's been in, yeah, well over a year now, going on a year and a half, and one of the major complaints coming in was he ready for the job? Is he just some smooth-talking college football coach? From my view, it seems to me like he's you know, done a pretty good job picking up the job and doing what he's expected to do of the folks who elected him. Did he seem pretty in command of what he was talking about as he talked with you the other day?
Yeah, it wasn't just with me. He does what we call these media call-ins once a week.
Okay.
Now, Senator Doug Jones did the same thing when he was in office.
Right.
He would have these media call-ins as well on a weekly basis. And Senator Tuberville does it. He's continued on with that, and I, you know, as a member of the media, we appreciate that. I mean, it's, you know, there's been others that, you know, you hardly ever talk to, and you don't know what they're up to. So, I mean, it certainly keeps, I think, the public informed. It shows a level of respect towards the press in this state, because it is a statewide media that's in on these calls. It's the TV stations in Birmingham and Huntsville. You don't have the MSNBCs or the Fox Newses that are on this call. It's the Alabama based press, and I think that that's very important, and as a reporter in this state, I certainly appreciate that.
Yeah, for sure. Talking with John Sharp from AL.com. You can check out his work there at AL.com or on Twitter, JohnSharp99. And let's bring it home and bring it a little closer to present day as this school year kind of comes to an end for so many kids around here. Next school year is going to look quite different for some kids down by the beach. As first it was Gulf Shores and now Orange Beach splitting off from the Baldwin County school system. What was that meeting about last night?
So there was two meetings. One was called in Orange Beach for the Orange Beach City School Board, newly formed, actually formed within the last month or so. And then the Baldwin County School Board had a meeting as well. And basically the, you know, the just bring it home is that, you know, they voted on the separation agreement. The difference, I mean, what it was pretty quick, to be quite honest with you, because in Gulf Shores a couple of years ago, the separation went through, but it went on and on and on. There was negotiations, there was disagreements, the state was brought in. Here, this went by fairly quick, largely because I think the ground had been laid and the playbook has been laid out with the Gulf Shores split. And there was also legislation that was approved a couple of years ago that kind of spells out on how buildings will be compensated and transferred as far as depreciation goes and how much, who gets what, and the type of financial compensations that are at play there. So much smoother process between the City of Orange Beach and the Baldwin County School Board than what we saw with Gulf Shores. And, yeah, by July 1st, Orange Beach City Schools will be set to go. I think all that remains is that Alabama State Superintendent Eric Mackey has to sign off on this. I'm not sure on the timetable for that, but I think the biggest hurdle has been reached now with the agreement being approved. I go into the particulars onto the agreement on the story on AL.com, so if people want to check that out, they're more than welcome to. It gets into the weeds a little bit with, you know, how much in cash is being paid to the Baldwin County school system, and then what Orange Beach receives, how much, you know, bond payments they'll have to pay. There's, you know, approximately 130 employees. They'll continue to be working, you know, that are currently with the Baldwin County school system. They'll continue to work with the Orange Beach City schools, and their tenures will transfer. Those teacher positions, their tenure will transfer. There's a lot of different issues there that I go into. So, but yeah, I mean, to bring it, just to bring the big picture here, July 1st, Orange Beach City Schools is official, and the school year will begin in the city of Orange Beach. They'll have their city school starting off in August.
Seems so soon. That happened. But you're right. I guess the Gulf Shore split off kind of paved the way for him there. John, great work as always. Love reading your work there at AL.com. I know you said it gets into the weeds a little bit there. That's why we love it. Need to know this stuff that's happening, and you are the man for that. So we really appreciate your time today on Midday Mobile.
Yeah, Dalton, I appreciate it. And all the mothers out there, please enjoy your weekend. It's a big weekend for y'all.
It sure is. Thanks, John. That's John Sharp, AL.com. You can find his writing there. Also, follow him on Twitter like I do, at JohnSharp99. And he especially loves talking about the Iowa Hawkeyes, among many other things. All right, coming back, more Midday Mobile on the way. This is Dalton Orwick in for Sean Sullivan.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
And we're back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. I'm Dalton Orwig filling in for Sean Sullivan today. And we are live from Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry on Government, Midtown Mobile. Come by before Mother's Day. Make sure you get some goodies for her. And plenty more if you want to shop for yourself or anybody else in the family. They've got what you need here. And speaking of that, why don't we head on over to LCM Motor Cars and talk with David McCrary. Hey, David.
Hey, Dalton. Good afternoon. How you doing?
Man, I'm doing fantastic. And I just mentioned it, Mother's Day around the corner. I can't think of anything better that Mama would like than a nice vehicle from LCM Motor Cars.
Well, we've got plenty of them right now. And speaking of mothers, you know, a lot of the ladies are driving the big utility vehicles. We've got two 2015 Expeditions. One of them's got 70,000 miles on them. We got 215 Yukon XLs. We got 215 Tahoes. And all of them are really nice. They've all been cleaned and they're ready to go. Should be pictures of everything on the website.
That's perfect. And with that, you can load all the kids in there, all their bags, take them down to the beach, whatever you need. Plenty of room in both of those vehicles. And you're always shopping for vehicles too, right? If someone's looking for something in particular, you can find it for them.
Yeah, the best way to do that is give me a call, make sure that we can get together and come on, sit down with me. I got a big TV in my office. I can throw them up on the TV. You can figure out what you want, what color, what equipment, and we can buy it right there.
How about financing, David?
Finance is good. Our rates are still great. I know everybody's complaining about thinking the rates are going to go up, but our rates have all stayed consistent.
That's great to hear. And where can folks find you?
We're at Highway 90 and Plantation in Theodore. Go to the website at lcmmotorcars.com or just give us a call, 251-375-0068.
All right. Have a good one, David.
You too, buddy.
That's David McCrary. Find him at LCM Motor Cars. And we continue here from Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. We'll check in again with Angelo here in just a minute, and he'll give us some more information about whether you're shopping for mom or maybe looking to invest a little bit in gold and silver as you look at what the stock market's done here these last couple of days. Probably not the worst idea. And we'll also talk with Ray Mellick coming up in the next hour from 1819 News. Now, it's hard to believe because we've been talking about it for so long, but we are less than 3 weeks away from the primaries coming up and some very competitive races here in our state. Ray Mellick takes a bird's eye view of it at 1819 News, and we'll get him to weigh in and tell us kind of what he's thinking. And also, it's that time of year. Don't forget votenappies.com. I guess we have another month to vote. I'm on there in a bunch of the different radio categories. Don't forget Sean Sullivan. Vote for him. I think he's up for best plastic surgeon, maybe something like that. Jeff Poor, best animal groomer. You can vote for him at votenappies.com. And, of course, Dan Brennan up for best air fryer chef in Mobile. All of those available at votenappies.com. All right, coming back, we'll check in with Angelo right here, Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry on Midday Mobile.